Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you Monday, February the 23rd, 2026, 2:23:26, 13 minutes past the hour on this snowy and cold Monday morning. Be careful if you are out there on the roads. Certainly a lot going on here in Marion. Don't forget a full city council meeting tonight at 6:30. At City Hall, that will certainly be something of interest to a lot of people. I believe this will be the first meeting in which Twyla Lang will take her new position as treasurer of the city of Marion, and we will have the tax credit conversation. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yes, of course.
Has the water stopped stinking? Is it safe to drink?
You know, it depends on where you live, I guess.
It's funny how the water company can send out a notice, but they never send out a notice when they've fixed the issue.
Well, I don't know. You got me on that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to thank our wonderful mayor. Welcome, Collins. Thank you. I'm on to you. Do it better tomorrow.
Now, wait a second. What does that mean?
Oh, just re-listen to last Friday.
My show?
No, Steve Allen's show.
Well, no, I'm trying to draw the dot between, because did we talk about the
well,
mayor?
Well, think about it. You'll have an aha moment, and the email I sent you, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, it'll click.
Okay.
To a better tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'll have to go back and check my email. I must have missed that particular email, but I'm not sure what last Friday's show had to do with the mayor. We certainly had some interesting conversation during last Friday's show, but I'm not sure where the mayor figures into that one. But as I said, tonight will be a full city council meeting, and I think certainly one of the big issues tonight will be the talk of the elimination of the tax credit for those who work outside of the city of Marion, and how that vote will come down tonight with two fewer city council members, with Twyla becoming the treasurer and Mr. Prater resigning. So we'll see how that all goes down tonight. 6:30 at City Hall. And then there was also this comment last week, I think when Twyla was on the show on Friday morning, she said something about getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, and there were some questions about what that was, and maybe we'll find out tonight what that all involves at the city council meeting. And then, of course, well, let me read these comments. Let me go back to the comments section here. We were getting some comments during the conversation we were having last hour. And in regard to the Weslyn Davis story on her campaign finances, from one of our listeners, it says, pouring money into a campaign for a position that doesn't pay anywhere near the loans being taken out makes you wonder if she's planning on making more than advertised if she wins. Might also explain why she's so testy when anyone mentions it. She doesn't seem to want people looking too close. So there's a comment from one of our listeners this morning. And as we continue on this morning, tonight is a full city council meeting, and there's certainly a lot on the table. And somebody I've wanted to talk to for the last week, I'm so glad, is able to join us here via telephone for a few minutes this morning before the big meeting tonight, is current city councilman at large and member of the finance committee, Aaron Rollins. Aaron, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. Doing well. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Tonight's a big full council meeting. We'll have two fewer members with the resignations of Ron Prater and Twyla Lang. Before we get into the particulars, what do you see going into tonight's meeting?
Well, there's going to be fewer folks sitting at the table. I know that for sure. So I don't see, hopefully we have a quorum. Hopefully the rest of the members are present and we'll have a meeting tonight.
Well, that's one thing I want to tell. Let's just start with that. Last week we found out Ron Prater has resigned his seat due to an upcoming surgery, and that Twyla Lang has resigned her position to become the new treasurer of the city of Marion. And Twyla was on Friday morning, and there's been a lot of speculation that there's a big game of musical chairs going on, and that this was all planned. The treasurer, Vidya, becomes the auditor. We've seen Mr. Prater resign now, so we'll have a new 6th Ward City Councilman. Twyla has resigned to become the treasurer. We'll have a new 4th Ward City Council person. And, you know, we're not even two full months into the new cycle. What do you make of this?
Well, first of all, let me start off by just wishing both Ron and Twyla the best of luck. You know, obviously first Ron undergoing another surgery, and sounds like a pretty extensive recovery period. So want to wish him the best. It's been a pleasure to serve alongside Ron here over the last couple of years. So certainly want to wish him the best. And then also Twyla, you know, jumping into the role of treasurer with the financial situation the city's in. She certainly had a pulse on what's been going on, so critical that she has success in that role, I think, for each one of the residents here in Marion. So want to wish both of them luck, first of all. But yeah, it's hard to not think that there weren't some politics involved with what we saw here over the last week to 2 weeks. Yeah, I'll probably get into some of that tonight at City Council, so I don't want to reveal too much, but, you know, to have a vote like that to change tax code, really, to have that come out of a finance committee and then to have the chairperson resign just a day or two after that, that's suspect for sure.
Well, that's one of the issues here this morning, is that tonight, I think it'll just be the first reading, we'll have the idea that people who work out of city who don't work in the city of Marion will have their tax credit revoked. Now, this is a way to generate money for a city that's having financial difficulties, but the vote to send that out of committee happened last Monday night, and Twyla was still part of the financial committee when that happened, and then we find out, I think, 48 hours later, that she was resigning her position to become treasurer. So why to you is that suspect, and why should that be suspect to the listening audience, the citizens of Marion?
Well, because I think it's no secret that I've been opposed to removing this credit for some time. As you recall, Republican Party tried this here a couple years ago when Ayers and I were both serving on the Finance Committee. We were able to stop that from going to the floor at that time. So it just looks, the optics of it sure looks like it was some politics.
Were you aware of any of this before Twyla was appointed to the position on Wednesday?
I was not aware.
No. Do you believe others were aware?
I would certainly think that at least Twyla was aware. There would have had to have been an offer or at least some conversations behind the scenes for that to come to fruition, I would think. Whether or not any other council members had any knowledge, I've not spoken to any council members directly related to that.
And I should also mention, I am being corrected here, because of President's Day, the council committee meetings were actually on Tuesday last week, so it was 24 hours after that vote that she
That's
was.
Correct.
Yeah. So when you heard the news, what was your first reaction?
Well, first of all, you know, she certainly has a handle on what's been going on. Is she qualified. Certainly the administration feels that she is. Certainly the Republican Party feels that she is. So this is kind of where the rubber meets the road, I suppose. So, you know, I think we need to hold both the new auditor and the new treasurer to the same standard we've held the previous auditors and the previous treasurers. You know, we'll see how quickly reconciliations get done and how well they're done moving forward.
But, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you feel that you should have been made aware on Tuesday that this was a possibility or this might have been going on. Do you feel she should have recused herself from that vote on Tuesday, even if there was a possibility that she might get this position?
I'm not going to comment on that. I guess I would just say that's politics. Politics is an ugly, dirty thing. I don't like to get involved in that type of political nonsense, but it sure looks and smells like politics to me.
I want to talk about this tax credit, getting rid of the tax credit for people who work outside the city of Marion.
Sure.
From the social media posts that I have seen, seems very, very, very unpopular. Feels it's a deterrent for people who want to move to Marion and work someplace else. And also people are confused, and maybe you can help us with this. So if you live in another city and work in Marion, what happens there?
Well, you're going to pay income taxes to the city of Marion.
Right. So do you pay double? Because wasn't that the idea for the tax credit, that if you lived in Marion and you worked someplace else, you got a credit because you were also being taxed someplace else. But if you live someplace else but you work in Marion, now are you just going to get taxed both places?
It would depend the municipality that you live in, what their tax code consisted of. So if there was no credit for taxes paid to another municipality, then yes, you would pay additional tax. If there was, say, a 50% credit, you would get 50% of the credit that you paid to Marion toward your municipality, and so on and so forth.
Well, I think the idea that people have about this tax credit is one of the reasons that it was given was because there are people who live in Marion who work in other areas who are also being taxed there, but isn't Marion making money off of people who don't live here but work here?
Yes, we absolutely are.
Right. So when they say that this is a big savings, you know, a lot of people always felt that it was just kind of an offset either way.
Well, there definitely was an initial loss of revenue generated because we went from a 50% tax credit to a full 100% tax credit. So that first year, yeah, there certainly was a loss to the city, but certainly not to the taxpayers or the residents of Marion.
Right. So how do you think this vote's going to go? You've been the only one really vocal against it at this point. How do you feel this is going to go?
I have no doubt that it's going to pass.
And what does that mean? How is that going to affect the city adversely?
Well, that remains to be seen. I can just tell you that I'm going to fight just as hard as I have in the past against passage tonight, and hopefully over the next two council meetings, I've got willing it goes three readings. But yeah, I'm going to fight staunchly, and I guess it remains to be seen. With really no economic development on the horizon, I can't imagine that any type of a tax increase is going to help jobs come to Marion.
You know, April is not far off. One plan sent down to the state auditor has already been rejected by the state auditor. How much trouble do you, you're on the finance committee, how much trouble do you feel Marion is in here in getting a plan together that the state auditor will accept? And how much are you aware of what's going on? Because Twyla always seemed to know what was going on, what the state auditor wanted or wanted to see happen. Are you a part of those conversations? And what do you think the situation is with, you know, just a little over 60 days to go here? Less than 60 days, I guess.
Yeah, I think we'll get a plan put together that the state will approve. I have no doubts about that. They were pretty clear on what they wanted to see changed, and I think the administration, the new auditor, the new treasurer, have a good handle on that, and we'll get a plan down to the state that'll get approved. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt about that.
What is your explanation? How did we get this way? That's what everybody's asking. How did this happen, the financial crisis in Marion?
Well, I think there's a number of things. I mean, if you turn on the national news any evening, you'll see any number of municipalities, cities, counties going through the same type of financial situations that we are. You can trace a lot of this back to COVID money. You know, these municipalities got money hand over fist during the COVID era, and they spent like drunken sailors, and really with no thought of pulling back that spending after that COVID money dried up. So you're seeing that play out all over L.A., New York. Marion's not immune to that. The same kind of reckless spending got us in the same situation that we're seeing really across the country.
But I don't know that all other areas are in this type of financial distress.
Well, there are a lot. I don't know that there's a number that haven't completed reconciliations or had an audit through the state legislature or through the state auditor in 4 years, but yeah, there's a number of municipalities that are hurting right now.
Well, and I think that's the coupling in Marion that is problematic for a lot of people, as reconciliations haven't gone on for a number of years. I believe now we're on
that's the problem is these other cities, counties, they know the financial hardship they're in. We have no clue because we haven't been able to balance our books in 4+ years.
Well, and I think that's the thing, that's the place we're at right now, because we've got the third auditor since the books have not been reconciled. And is it believable, with all these years not reconciled and groups that have been paid, brought in to help reconcile the books, that this is going to be fixed by the end of the year, that these books are all going to be reconciled and brought up to date with a new auditor and treasurer when the last two or three have not been able to do that?
I gotta believe that when the state gets involved to the level that the state is involved currently, we have no other option but to complete these this year. So, yes, I do believe that's going to get completed.
A question that people have, is Marion losing all of its tax credit or just a partial?
I'm not sure I fully understand the question. So right now, if you live in the city, but you travel outside for work, and you pay tax to that municipality, you will get 100% tax credit for your Marion income tax.
Right.
That will, if this legislation goes through, that will only be a 50% credit. So let's say you work in Delaware, and you pay a 2% tax to Delaware. You will now pay 3% in income tax because you will pay 2% to Delaware. You will get a 50% credit to Marion, and you will still owe Marion 1%.
Now, last week it was said, and I believe it was by Twyla during that discussion, that this is what people voted for, and this is why we're sending it through. You didn't seem to be in agreeance with that. Why not?
I don't agree with that.
What was she referring to as to this is what people voted for?
I'm not sure.
I think there are a lot of confusion there in that particular area. One thing I did want to talk about, though, because it happened during last week's meeting, was the reemergence of Ayers Ratliff, because this was a big discussion last Monday in regard to the Flock cameras. And
yep.
Ayers made a statement, former Second Ward City Councilman, that I'm not going to read the whole statement, but What he did say was this, and a lot of people are a little surprised by this, to say the least. They said, let's see here. I'm going to pick it up in the middle. He said, it's not just the poor optics. We should not fool ourselves that we are above having a police department that has problems. We are not above having a police chief that has significant moral problems. And we should not give them tools to continue to violate our civil rights as citizens. What did you make of that appearance and those statements by Ayers Ratliff?
Well, he certainly has the right, just like any other citizen, to show up at a city council meeting and express his thoughts and opinions and displeasure toward any department within the city. So I will say there was a lady who spoke shortly after that who said, kind of took offense at what Ayers had to say and made a comment, something to the effect of, we shouldn't do that here in this meeting. No, this is exactly what we should do here. You know, as someone who sat on council for a number of years now, I've heard from a number of citizens who have come up and expressed displeasure with any number of departments within the city. That is what the public comment period is for, to come and speak directly to your representative, to your city council person, and express your displeasure. Let us know what your thoughts and opinions are. If you don't do that, we don't know. So I respected Ayers for coming up, speaking on that topic. I expect that we'll hear more regarding flock cameras in the near future.
City Councilman at Large, new City Councilman at Large, Dan Clark, responded and talked about supporting the police 100% and felt that Mr. Ratliff had been through a trauma, and that's where this is all coming from. Did you feel that was also the right time, right place expression that should happen in a meeting like that?
Again, I'm not... Councilman Clark is entitled to his opinion, just as Mr. Ratliff is entitled to his. I will say, if you look at my voting record, there's been no one more supportive of our local police and fire than myself. Was endorsed by the Fraternal Order of Police. I'll leave it at that.
Well, just the one sentence there. We are not above having a police chief that has significant moral problems. What is your answer to that?
I've never personally witnessed a police chief doing anything immoral. So I can't speak specific to what Ayers is referring to there. You'd have to ask Ayers specifically what that is.
When it comes to the Finance Committee, there will now be an open chair. Who would you like to see on the Finance Committee? Would you like to chair the Finance Committee?
Well, I believe by default I am chair of the Finance Committee. As vice chair, there's no longer a chair, so kind of by de facto, that makes me a chairperson, which I let the pro tem know that I am willing to accept that role and responsibility. So moving forward, I will be chair of the Finance Committee, at least for the remainder of this term, until President Pro Tem decides that I am no longer needed in that role.
Would you like to continue in that role?
Oh, absolutely. I let him know that, yep, I was ready to accept and have no issues continuing in that capacity.
And with the city council members we currently have, who would you like to see on that committee?
I think we need somebody that has some financial knowledge. It's going to be tough. There's a lot of young folks on city council, several who I'm not sure have a full grasp of the how city finances work. Nor have a full understanding or grasp of the real situation the city finds itself in. So it'll be interesting to see who President Pro Tem puts in that position. Mm.
And you don't have any favorite at this point?
Um, let me look at the landscape here. Yeah, there's two faults that I think of that I feel could probably handle the gravity of it, probably understand the financial side of it, have probably at least had some experience with financial statements. That would be Sean Barr and probably Danny Clark.
Okay. And I guess my final question this morning before we head into tonight, for people who are absolutely worried because of the city's financial situation, what do you say to them at this point? How can we get this ship righted in any way?
Well, I mean, the state's involved. They're going to review whatever plan that the city puts forward. And honestly, they're going to hold the city accountable to that plan. So, yes, it's up to the administration to put forth a plan that outlines exactly how we're going to pay off these accounts that are listed in the negative. The state's obviously indicated that 20 years isn't a long enough, or is too long of a time frame to do that. So we're going to have to shrink that down. We're going to have to make tough decisions over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, really tighten the belt in order to get the financial ship straightened here.
One thing I wanted to slip in before we wrap this up, because I had a conversation recently with somebody about Lois Fisher's local businesswoman, her appearance at City Council, I believe a couple weeks ago, asking about, will Marion City give any money to downtown Marion? And the mayor's answer seemed to be, we can't right now, let's see what happens, it's possible, but we don't know. And a lot of people felt that that was not a fully honest answer, that it can't possibly happen this year, that the state has said that all nonprofits need to be self-sufficient, and that if Marion was going to spend money, it shouldn't be on downtown Marion. That would not be the first priority. Do you think that downtown Marion will get any money this year, and do you think the answer given by the mayor a couple weeks ago to Mrs. Fisher was accurate?
I think that downtown Marion will get whatever money downtown Marion can raise through private means. I do not believe that the county or the city are in any position whatsoever to continue to fund that organization and probably a couple others. So, yes, I do agree with the state's assertion that these not-for-profits need to be self-sustaining, and if they're not, they're probably just not a great idea. If they're going to be successful, people will recognize that success and reward that success. But we can't keep coming to the city coffer, especially given the financial situation that both the city and the county find themselves in.
Well, and I guess that leads to the wrap-up here, which is, Why would the mayor not just say that, or somebody say that, to Mrs. Fisher when she spoke a couple weeks ago?
I'm not sure. The question wasn't raised to me. So.
Right. Do you feel the mayor answered it in a proper way?
I don't know that the mayor necessarily said, yeah, we're going to go ahead and fund the organization.
No, he didn't say that.
I think he gave her a good answer. They're still going to have to come through City Council to get any type of appropriation approved. That's the reality.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting, and tonight we'll see what happens as things go along, and you say you've got some things to say tonight that we'll find out during the meeting tonight, 6:30 at City Hall. Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott. Good talking to you.
All right, Marion City Councilman at Large, Aaron Rollins. There's a little take on what will happen tonight and things that have gone on recently. Well, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's a lot of stuff going on right now. And apparently tonight, Aaron will have something to say in regard to what went on with the Finance Committee last week and the changing of chairs in the city, with Twyla becoming the treasurer and two open city council seats now that have not been filled, and Vidya becoming the auditor and the vote that was taken in the Finance Committee last week that sent this proposal to get rid of the tax credit for people who work outside the city of Marion. All right, phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to any of this? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Or we can talk about what's going on in the 86th District. We can talk about what's going on with Les Wexner. You know, there's never a lack of things to talk about. That's for sure. And a lot of this does come down to finances, it would seem. Now, again, I want to read the... We're from one of our other listeners this morning. It used to be... So my husband used to get 100% credit for working in Columbus, then Schertzer changed it to 50%. That's what it is now. So there we go with that. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm good.
I just wanted to respond to Terry Klein's little cryptic message that he left earlier.
Okay.
My take on it would be that he made the comment last Friday that he was willing to donate $100 to my mental health fund, and I called in on call number 19,012 and said, you know, call Bill Collins and call Bales, whatever his name is, and to ask them, no disrespect to the sheriff, I'm just terrible with names, but, you know, call them, and they know me, and they're going to tell you. Dude, Phil don't claim to be stable. Phil don't claim to be this, that, or nothing else but Phil Townsend. And my only point in all of this, and I've said this to you before, and I've said it online, is I actually agree with a lot of what Terry Klein says. I don't agree with his delivery often, or much at all. I'm a know-it-all tool, I've been told. And, you know, my mission, though, is to help people. My mission is to give advice or just give my experience from walking through this path or down this road or whatever it may be. Terry likes to get to this. He likes to talk down to people, and then he wants to, you know, just like last Friday, I made a comment about my opinion of him as being a Republican. Oh, my God. Wow, that's so terrible, isn't it? His response is that I'm a mental midget. I mean, that's the problem with this whole political scene, with the world today, is you got these online bullies, and you got people that like to run their lips, but, you know, where I come from, like I said, men, if you're sitting in a bar, and you make your comment, which you have the freedom to make, and you freedom to have, you better also understand that, you know, you disrespect somebody sitting there, you're liable to get punched in the mouth, or any other myriad of things, and I'm not threatening anybody. I'm just saying, you will not, Terry Klein, disrespect me face-to-face. And if you want to do it online, that's your privilege, but you're a little bitch boy if that's what you're going to do. Be a man and stand up for what you stand on. You know, say it, stand on it, tell me to choke on it. But, dude, you're not going to disrespect me. I'm not threatening you. I'm just telling you reality. You know, so that would be my take on his little cryptic message.
Okay, well, Phil, and I want to ask you this while I got you here, because, you know, I want to have the conversation, and I appreciate that you listen and pay attention to what's going on. What do you make about these financial situations? What do you make about the 86th District that Ms. Davis is upset when the money is brought up, her money is brought up, from time to time by Ben Weber or in a news story?
I think it's a part of the political scene. It's part of the political expectation. They always run, and it's true of Democrats or Republicans, they always run on transparency and I'm going to fix this, that, and the other, but then they're not transparent. Same as this thing with you and Westland Davis, you know? I mean, show me one reporter or one newspaper, you know, outlet or whatever, throughout time, who's ever going to run a major story or any story on something that doesn't contact the person the story's about and say, hey, we've got this story and we want to give you a chance, an opportunity to comment on it before it is aired. And, you know, some people do, some people don't. Often they'll say no comment, or just like the thing with Ray Ray on this rape thing. Whatever happened to, you know, no comment because there's an ongoing investigation. I mean, going on and talking about DNA evidence or this evidence or that evidence, I mean, the appropriate response, in my opinion, is it's no comment. This is an active, ongoing investigation, so there will be no comment until after the trial, if there is a trial.
Yeah.
And I know I digress from what you
have. Well, trust me, that's a big story going on right now, too. I mean, what do you make of the sheriff? I mean, it's become the war of the press releases between the prosecutor, the sheriff, and Spitzer, the attorney for the accused police officer. What do you make of this latest development?
I mean, in all, I think all the people involved, you know, just like with Bill Collins and everything, I think he does love the city. I think the sheriff loves the city. I don't really know Ray Brogan at all. Don't have a good opinion from what I do know. But, I mean, I think they love the city, and I think they get caught up in, you know, I mean, instead of just saying, again, in my opinion, instead of Raymond and the rest saying, you know what, we made a mistake with Ayers Ratliff. We jumped the gun. Again, we talked too much about everything online and news stories before there was ever even any trial or an investigation. I think their feelings are hurt. I think their, you know, their egos are bruised. That was my point at one point when I got up and spoke to city council after the Naomi Craig story came out about her mother and the confession sitting there. I wasn't trying to kick anybody in the throat, but I'm saying, hey guys, this is our town. This is your organization. You came up from you know, a street soldier, you know, Mr. McDonald and Mr., you know, Collins. And I'm not saying that to chastise or make fun of. I'm saying, you know, I would expect you to say, wow, man, this can't be happening, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. You know, I mean, heads should roll if that sat there and sat there for 42 years and nobody knew and this, that, and the other. Heads should roll. Admit that mistake. You know, leaders admit that mistakes are made. You know, you got to own the good and the bad of a strong city, you know?
Well, and I think that comes to my final question this morning is, I think, and I truly am asking this with no malicious intent, is it good right now to have Ray Grogan's endorsement? I mean, he has won offices, but at this particular time, with the fallout from the Ratliff trial being an Ohio story covered by the Columbus media, losing that trial, and being in the midst of this issue with the police officer here, is this the political endorsement you would want? Because I always felt that Wesleyan had fairly good timing with this stuff. Is it positive to have Ray Grogan's endorsement in a Republican primary?
As I said the other day, I don't believe it is. I mean, I think he made some mistakes. I don't know the guy other than an interaction I had with, you know, through him in a you know, limited capacity years ago. And it wasn't anything where he prosecuted me or anything like that. So for all the, you know, investigators out there. But no, I wouldn't think so. It's just, I mean, I think he's trying to save face right now. I personally think, you know, he's in the clubhouse, so they all have to stick together. I've said all along, I said when I was, you know, very shortly a part of the OMW team, you know, guys, you got to understand, if you're going to attack the other side, you also got to, you know, from time to time say, you know what, here's where we had successes and here's where we had mistakes. Here's where I made mistakes, if you're talking about Robert Landon. You know, and say, here's what I learned from it, you know? I mean, if you can't admit that you made mistakes and you didn't learn from it, you know, I mean, I would think Ray Grogan would say, wow, you know, I guess the thing I learned is, you know, you don't get on TV and get on social media and try your case and then go up there and don't even ask questions from your prime witness. You know, he's on the stand, you got him under oath, and nobody had any questions. So that right there showed the whole strength of your case. So, no, to answer your question, no, I don't think it's a strong endorsement.
It's very interesting. Well, Phil, I'm glad you're out there, and thanks for calling in.
Have a great day.
All right, bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We've got about 7 minutes left here, 740-383-9944. I think these are all interesting questions, and this is what you do on a talk show. You talk about these things. These are things going on in our area. We've got a primary coming up here on the Cinco de Mayo, what, 2 months away? Not that far in the future. All right, go ahead, caller.
I'd like to thank Phil for proving my point, and I would like to apologize if I made him feel bad. I didn't realize he was such an emotional fellow.
But don't you think that's going to stir the pot? I mean, God, I think we should just let this...
I just apologized.
Okay, well, I hope he takes it as a sincere apology and we can just be done with that. But,
well, hey, time will tell.
Well, yeah, but on the issues of the day here... what do you feel about the things that have been talked? What do you make of the sheriff's press release on Friday night?
I think that some of these not ready for primetime politicians are kind of mimicking what they see in state and federal news feeds, etc. They just have, I don't think they think it through enough. And, you know, whatever happened to the old saying, silence is golden.
Well, and at this point, is Ray Grogan a good endorsement to have? And why do you think that Wesleyan...
Let me put it this way. If I were running for public office, I would appreciate his endorsement, but I would say, please, I don't need your help.
Well, and that comes to the other question. Why do you think that Wesleyan seems to get upset when her finances are mentioned in her campaign?
Maybe her shoes are too tight.
I don't know. It's interesting because when I saw her and Ben Weber getting into this past weekend, I thought, you know, I mean, if you are self-funded, okay. I mean, that's fine. I mean, people do that. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't understand.
As long as you can say you're self-funded and you can pass a forensic audit, hey, more power to you.
So what do you make? I want to read this again because we had Aaron on, and I don't think we gave people a chance to comment. From one of our listeners this morning, it said, pouring money into a campaign for a position that doesn't pay anywhere near the loans being taken out makes you wonder if she's planning on making it more... making more than advertised if she wins. Might also explain why she's so testy when anyone mentions it. She doesn't seem to want people looking too close. And that's from a listener who's listening out there today. What do you make, any relevance to that statement in your mind?
Well, you got to kind of wonder, why would somebody run for an office that sometimes pays less and what your current salary is? And a lot of these people run for office, and maybe they're in there two or three terms, and they come out so wealthy. Why is it that happens? They want to build a network. They want to get more money. You know, some people, enough just isn't enough for them. They can never fill that void of wanting more.
Well, and we also should be clear. We don't know that Wesleyan has done anything untoward. We don't know that that's the case. Maybe she just wants that position so she can be helpful for her constituents. I mean, maybe that's it.
Well, they need to redo all of the representatives and stuff. The way it's so drug out in the mass areas that you have to travel to really get a feeling of what your constituents' concerns are, that's a lot of territory to have to cover.
Well, hey, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Do a better tomorrow.
All right, we've got a few minutes left in the program here today if somebody'd like to get in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 99.44. Well, it's an interesting morning. I thank Aaron Rollins for calling in, and we'll see how everything goes tonight at the big city council meeting. I'm sure it will be interesting, as always. Getting involved in city government is something that all people should do, and I've said this many times before. Anybody who's got the guts to run for a public office, my hat's off to them, because it's not something I would want to do. A lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of time goes into it, and I appreciate all people who do come on the show, because I think that that's part of the job, is speaking to the constituents, and that's why I appreciate Aaron coming on this morning. I appreciated Twyla coming on Friday. Mr. Prater was on Thursday, I believe, and all of the statewide candidates, Amy Acton, Vivek Ramaswamy, Casey Putch, Ben Weber's been on, Weslyn Davis has been on, Stephen Wolf has been on, Seth Walsh, running for treasurer as the Democratic candidate. You know, they come, and I certainly do appreciate that. Well, we've got about a minute and a half left here, if anybody else would like to get in. 740-383-9944, and we'll be back tomorrow with another rip-roaring program here on WGH Talk. But I think the questions are always valid, and where they go, as they say. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. About a minute left in the program today. Again, I hope you tune in tomorrow. And if you want to come to City Council, it is tonight, 6:30 p.m., second floor, City Hall. I wonder if the idea of losing the tax credit if you work outside the city will draw any kind of a crowd tonight. I wonder if it will bring any kind of backlash from the citizens of Marion. Also, the flock camera conversation, will that continue on tonight? That certainly was the topic that seemed to get most people interested last week, and I guess we'll have to see what will happen tonight, and we'll also see what happens as Twyla becomes the treasurer of the city of Marion tonight. For this Monday, stay safe and stay warm. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with Chris?